GAA on Off the Ball.
One of the more memorable images of the weekend, to say the least, was the tunnel bust up at Healy Park between Dublin and Tyrone. To discuss, we have Enda McGinley, a three-time All-Ireland winner with Tyrone, and we have Nicky Brennan, the former GAA president, on the line. Enda, we might start with you. Your view of the incident, it was very serious, certainly in the TV pictures we saw. Punches being thrown with real ferocity. There were a lot of bodies in there. This was a serious incident.
Yeah, I was at the match doing a bit of radio commentary from the far side, and you could just see this sort of collection of people, this sort of the magnetic effect that row seemed to have with everybody rushing in, and you could tell something was happening. It wasn't until later when I seen the TV images that I realized just that it was a proper bust up, different than the handbags that we would usually see, the pushing and shoving and the sort of pretend fighting that we've, I suppose, grown accustomed to for several years. And when you compare it to the full-on punch throwing, it's certainly the better that we've been accustomed to that. But certainly pretty serious. Not what we want to see. My wee lad was at the game with me. And again, you're trying to explain to him on the way home what had happened whenever he was watching the clips too. So definitely not what you want to see. There's a huge number of issues between the stewarding of the ground, between the safety of the players, between how it came to pass, and then probably more importantly, the bigger issue as to why do these type of things keep on creeping up.
Yeah, Nicky, it was a similar but more serious to the Curraghfin-Kilcoo tunnel incident a couple of weeks back. What was your view of it on the TV?
I couldn't argue with what Enda was saying there. I suppose my first question is, why was there so many people in the tunnel? I think there seems to be an awful lot of people there. I know the two teams are going in together, but that happens at a lot of grounds. A number of grounds have different ways for teams to go off the field. But teams have to take responsibility. I mean, it was a serious incident. It was very unsavoury. I know Enda said his young lad was with him and he had to explain to him what was going on. But it's not acceptable that this happens in any game, be it inter-county or club. But clearly, with a big profile game such as Tyrone and Dublin, and you alluded in your introduction that it has history here, it's not satisfactory and it has to be dealt with.
So we can both agree that we can all agree this is serious. That's our starting point. This was, you know, there were significant punches being thrown at pace, ferocity, a lot of people involved. So we've been a bit dismayed at the general reaction. For instance, Mickey Hart, I didn't see too much, just a lot of bodies in a confined space. Maybe that was a good thing, that nobody could do any damage to each other. Desi Farrell, all I'll say is we came up here to play football. It was needless what happened at halftime. I couldn't see it. Brian Howard talking today of Dublin. In my opinion, there was nothing in it. Just two teams, two competitive teams. And when you come in, it's a drawn game, conditions, both teams not playing well. There are hot tempers, but there shouldn't be any repercussions for either team. Now, later on, he said to the 42, I was already in the dressing room at the time, so I don't actually know what went on and I haven't looked back at it. But still, he felt comfortable enough to say nothing in it, nothing should happen. GPA, if we're talking about player safety, GPA, nothing. Nothing. I mean, they don't want to condemn their own members, I accept. But actually, they surely need to say something about this incident. And then the GAA, we looked for comment, investigation ongoing, no comment, can't comment. The word in the papers today seems to be the video evidence not conclusive enough to identify individuals. I can appreciate that. There'll be a fine of some sort, presumably, for both sides, but no more than that. And that is the point. So, Nicky, at what stage are the GAA going to take this seriously?
Probably in today at the latest.
Grant, okay.
Does that say anything? It may or may not, in fairness. The referee was well behind what happened, so maybe he didn't say anything and maybe make no comment on the report. After that, the GAA will look to TV footage to see what does that show. And as we've alluded to already in this conversation, it was unlikely to show individuals. So it may very well be that individuals will not be brought to book for what happened.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's probably going to be some type of fine or otherwise on the two teams. You know, maybe that's what should happen in this case. I'm not sure that anything else can happen, because at the end of the day, there was one of the teams won the game, the other lost the game. So what, taking the 2 points off of the winner is only penalising one team. But I do think that it is something that the GAA has to stamp out, and because it presents the wrong image. It's still being talked about now as we enter into the middle half of the week after the game. And there's probably not an awful lot more that the GAA can do about it. But it's also a case of where county boards have to accept responsibility. And yes, the GPA themselves have to start accepting responsibility as well when such matters arise, because they are they're happening not too frequently, thankfully, but whenever they happen, there must be repercussions.
Yeah, you see, that presents it almost as an unfixable problem. Take 2 points off both teams, or go further, make a real example of them. Because, Enda, you might remember October 2018, we had you on, because around that time there were a spate of incidents. There was Ballyholland Harps against Dunpatrick, which ended up in the car park. Jarlath Burns at the time said it was the worst he'd ever seen in a GAA match. We had Stewartstown against Strabane in Tyrone. There was Slotneil against Ballandarry a few weeks before that, and the Armagh Tyrone under-20s game. And it was a big talking point. It was on everybody's phones, so from local level right up to senior level. And we said at the time, this is talked about in the GAA as an unfixable problem. It's part of the culture. It's a physical game. It's tribal. It's passionate. Parish against parish, all that kind of stuff. And here we are, two teams who contested an All-Ireland final not so long ago. Big dust-up, proper punches being thrown, and the attitude seems to be, well, like, we can't identify anyone. What are we going to do? Sure, look, you know, a fine for the county board. No punishment.
I'd be pretty sure it wasn't the county chairman or the county secretary in there throwing punches. So the next time that a similar incident was brewing, are them boys going to be worried that the county board had to pay a fine? Absolutely not. So in terms of preventing it happening again, putting out fines does nothing other than to say, well, we did something. It will be completely ineffective in terms of trying to prevent this again. And you're absolutely right. Back 2018 with all them incidences, and I remember writing an article about it at the time and saying that this was just the latest thing that it had happened years before. I suppose from my own recollection, the famous 2003 battle between Tyrone and Dublin, that time players could be identified, lots of suspensions given out. That were all, no suspensions practically given out. It was all turned over on appeal. So what is clear to me, the issue I have about trying to find which players to suspend, there's no point waiting for an incident to happen and then trying to throw the book at them. That's what we have been doing for numerous years, but because it's sort of almost an ad hoc form of discipline, it's ineffective because it then gets turned over on appeal, and the wheel turns around, and the news cycle changes in 10 days' time, yeah. And suddenly it's all forgot about until the next time. For me, like, there's various things that could have happened. The referee can always call off a game whenever things get completely out of hand. The bar in the GAA is very, very high for that to happen. It has to be a melee that refuses to stop, and eventually the referee might walk off. Maybe we need to talk about that the bar has to come right down. I can fully understand the Dublin and Tyrone camps coming out, yes, and saying, yeah, nothing to see here. That is always going to happen. And maybe some of the reluctance about people coming out to criticise this properly is because we all know there's very few saints. There's very few people, if you've been involved in the GAA fully for a lifetime, there's very few of us have never been in a couple of situations that maybe on reflection we shouldn't have been. So there's nobody without sin to throw that first stone. Yeah. But I think we'll have to move on and about this particular incident and look about the bigger rule changes. Teams and clubs should be able to be thrown out of competitions faster if they're involved in incidents. The referee, as soon as that fight happened down the tunnel, it was a significant incident. If he saw a clip of it, which he probably would be able to, then why not just call that game off right there and then? We see soccer having big things that they have to stop, and players are now walking off pitches. I think we have to look at some serious interventions to start punishing teams properly, so that the next time it's to happen, people know, no, this is too serious, we need to take a step back here. Rollin, at the minute, there's no real reason, if you've got a slap, or you've seen an opponent, or you've seen a teammate take a dirty slap, there's nothing really on you, bar responsibility, to stand up for him weighing in. There has to be a bigger picture there. But the rules, we've had special congresses, we've had numerous new rules in the GAA, but none of them have touched on a number of things, including this sort of discipline and this melee type thing, which has been an ongoing stain in the game.
Yes, and again, talked about almost as fixable, as intrinsic to the game, when other sports who had similar things in previous decades have cleaned it up? And here's why it's so serious. Okay, I mean, we can be po-faced about this and say, you know, this is a bad look for the game and, you know, think of the children. Grand. The children aren't that upset, I'm sure, a lot of the time. Here's where it's, why it's serious. And when we spoke 2 years ago, Enda, and you've, you know, involvement in the medical profession, you talked about one punch fatalities. So even just looking today, there's a UK organisation called One Punch Can Kill. So across the UK, between 07 and 2017, there have been 80 deaths from one punch. Single punch, 80 deaths in 10 years. In Northern Ireland, between 04 and 16, so in 12 years, 23 people have died courtesy of one punch, a single punch. There was a BBC News report. Duncan Bew is a consultant in trauma at King's College Hospital, and he said, you can die of one punch in three ways. The blow itself can cause fatal damage to the brain. Two, it can cause a physiological response where people stop breathing, the brain is starved of oxygen. Or three, and this is not unrelated to an incident in a tunnel, which we saw, the punch can cause a person to lose consciousness and strike their head on a hard surface. And he said the impact is similar to being hit over the head with a block of concrete. I don't have figures for Republic of Ireland, couldn't find them, but I presume it's in keeping with the UK and Northern Ireland. So is that a touch alarmist? Is that worst case scenario? Absolutely, I accept that. But by the same token, we're talking about a game of Gaelic football. And Enda, I'm sure you've seen it, I'm sure you've heard of incidents like it. In that context, I have to ask, what is the sport waiting for?
Absolutely, and that's my issue in terms of trying to wait for an incident to happen and then have punishment there. I think the punishment needs to be set out in rules. It needs to be significant. Any of these sort of melees or sort of free fights that are happening, be it in within the pitch or within the grounds, as you mentioned earlier, in terms of them supporter brawls that we've seen. But it needs to be there, passed through Congress and passed with significant weight, that people are going to have to think really long and hard about getting involved, that there's going to be just a cultural change that you just do not do this, rather than waiting for the incident to happen and then trying to throw the book at it. Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. There is seriousness. Hopefully it never comes to pass that a major or sort of a fatality or a life-changing injury, a Sean Cox type head injury, can come about. Nobody wants to ever see that. But without a doubt, it is a risk. The facts and the physiology just unfortunately speaks for itself.
Nikki, come in on this and talk to us. In 07, there were, again, you know, it's history repeating itself, there were a spate of flashpoints. I think there was an image of a Westmeath referee lying on the ground in an intermediate game, and there were players fighting around him, and you called counties in to discuss discipline. But, you know, again, following that, Colm Keyes had a piece a couple of years ago about that incident where you called people in. But 3 years later, South Tipperary senior hurling match, and a former inter-county referee, Willie Barrett, was struck twice in the back. Antrim referee 2011, Ray Matthews, hospitalised after an under-21 game in Antrim. Two Donegal players hospitalised in 2012. The pattern continued, Nicky. So, how do we deal with this? I mean, what did you find during your presidency?
Look, Joe, you're right. You can't argue with the facts. These things have been going on, and there's been a level of indiscipline that simply cannot be tolerated. In the overall scheme of things, I suppose it is in the minority, but I totally would not argue with anything you're saying there. Those incidents are very unsavoury incidents and cast a very dark shadow on the association. As well as that, the GAA has, over a long period of time, addressed quite a number of those issues. But you know as well as I do that as soon as there is a penalty imposed, and Enda alluded to there a minute ago, people will start looking at how we can appeal this, how we can get out of this. They bring ambiguity then and confuse, because it's a different body that's going to hear the appeal from the body that actually issued the penalty in the first place, or the suspension. So we actually have, I believe, a problem in our association in that regard, in that the whole process gets muddied the further it goes along, and people are not prepared to accept responsibility for their actions. I mean, yes, we could try and change the rules that if something like this happens, that it automatically means that if a team is found to have been guilty of doing something, they're immediately kicked out of that particular competition that they're in. And maybe it's time we did have something like that, and maybe that's the only way that we're going to deal with the matter, particularly as you had on Saturday night, when it is very difficult to actually identify the people who are mainly culpable for what actually started the free-for-all in the first place.
Mm. How difficult would it be to pass a rule like that, Nicky, through Congress?
Look, it probably would be very difficult. But at the end of the day, I think that's something that the association has to consider. It has to lay out the rationale behind it. And it has to be clearly done in such a way that those people who are bringing our association into disrepute know in advance that if they do that, that what the implications are. Of course, it's not going to be easy. Having lived through so many Congresses over the years, I know it would be difficult. But at the end of the day, we do have a responsibility to the wider audience of the GAA, be they players or supporters at club and county level, to ensure that we play our game in a disciplined manner. Yes, there will be occasional flashpoints. We shouldn't think that that's not going to happen, and that's part and parcel of the game, the way it works out. But there is a line at which if people cross it, then there should be clear ramifications for that, and maybe that's not as clear in our rules as it needs to be.
Mm. Because, Enda, we're not talking here about lads grabbing each other by the jerseys, and like, you know, that'll happen in the game. Tussles will happen. Like, we have to be realistic as well about what we impose and what we expect of teams. I think everybody can agree that Saturday crosses a line. It's too dangerous to just shrug the shoulders and say, you know, on we go. But I absolutely don't want to, you know, portray this as players have to be saints either. Like, there are going to be dust-ups that you have to allow for as well. It's about finding the line, but I don't think we've ever found it.
No, you're absolutely right. We haven't got there. It's interesting what you say in terms of some of the things we see in the game and some of the things we accept in the game. It is a physical game. I don't mind if two boys get at each other, lose the heads a bit. An odd punch is thrown, it shouldn't happen, but that's easy to identify, easy to punish, and every player knows that there's risks involved with that. It's whenever the melee starts to happen and boys think, I can do a bit of damage here, I can get a few hits away, and I'll probably not get suspended. That's when the danger is. There has to be a bigger picture. If you think your whole team is going to be chucked out or suspended, well, then you're going to think twice all of a sudden again. But going back to the other thing, for me, there's a general undercurrent of, for want of a better word, crap going on and allowed to go on the pitch. We've seen lots of rule changes, but to me, nothing has stopped or nothing has even attempted to address two of the most frustrating things for me as a spectator to see, and we see it routinely week in, week out, the level of antagonism that's allowed between players at the minute on the pitch. So you'll see one player, a star player usually, 70 yards away from the ball, a man in his face just pushing and pushing and pushing and hitting at him. He goes to jog, he gets hit back miles away from the ball, and that player is supposed to just stand and take that. And umpires, linesmen, everybody can see it, but somehow this isn't something that we need to condone, or we need to punish. Mm. That's we'll punish a silly ankle tap, but we'll not punish a man that absolutely antagonizes a man for an hour, for 70 minutes. And then if they do respond, or if they do get into a wrestling match, it's a two yellow card thing. Mm. This thing of just antagonism off the ball of star players, that creates a level of frustration in games that then can boil over into these other instances. And then the other thing, of slightly differently, but equally as horrible to see, is this feigning of injury, which in the GAA's good intentions of coming in to protect head injuries and sort of clamp down on any challenges that are high, then we're getting all these players play acting, really obviously play acting, but nothing coming in to stop that. So there's a lot of unmanly stuff that's happening in the game at the minute. Mm. And it's because the rules have changed so much that mouthing or this antagonism off the ball is allowed or not punishable, and the feigning of injury isn't really punishable, or certainly there's no action often taken. And we're waiting on a proper incident to happen. But then I think all of that just stuff that's going on lends itself to whenever these rows happen, there is an element of stuff that boys know that they can get away with now, and that unfortunately the disciplinary thing, because the lawyers get involved in it, the disciplinary process of Croke Park has just been blown apart so many times by the lawyers that players, particularly at county level, feel to a degree untouchable.
Nicky, you were trying to come in there, I heard.
Point there, two points I'll make. One is at Congress at the weekend, the fourth official has now been given responsibility to indicate to the referee if there's incidents that he may have missed. So taking the point that Enda has after alluding to there, a long ways away from the play where both the linesmen and perhaps the umpires are watching where the ball is, the fourth official can now train his eye maybe at other parts of the field and see if there's antagonism of a player going on there. So it will be interesting to see what that happens now, because that rule will be implemented by the beginning of April. So that will be interesting to see what impact that will have on matters pertaining around the field. The last point that Enda said there in relation to legal people and that, legal people, in fairness, are not involved in the GA scenario. I accept that when it comes to the DRA, there may very well be at that particular stage, but the process up to that is very much handled within the association itself. But the point I'm making is that the case can get muddied along the way from the time that the penalty is imposed by the CCCC. It then goes on to the appeals committee, and then it could go to the DRA. So it is a far more formal process, I will admit, at the DRA. But the DRA case is more about procedure rather than about the actual incident itself. So I'm not that worried about a whole lot of legal people being involved because the DRA has taken it away from the courts. I think the issue here is we need to be clearer what is happening in relation to the incidents off the pitch. Where it's happening between the four lines, I think there's enough officials there to control the game. It's when it happens in the tunnel or where it happens after the game, be it with a referee or among players, that's when it becomes more difficult to police. And that is a bit of a challenge for the association, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Nicky, do you agree that the GAA has really fallen behind in this whole regard, though, in comparison with other sports, that this culture... And it is a culture which has just been allowed to continue over decades. It's romanticised as well. Back when, you know, men were men, it's accepted. And it is a stain. It is a stain on the association.
I think the process by which the GA deals with this discipline is cumbersome. It is, its process is long, from the time that the referee sends in his report to the time the CCC will impose the penalty. The player has an opportunity then to contest that. Then it can be appealed. Then it can go to the DRA. If you take other sports where you have a disciplinary commission, that they can look at the referee's report and they can actually impose the penalty there and then, and that's it. The player maybe has an opportunity to appeal. But the process is very long-winded. But that's what our association has looked for, and if you continue with that process, you're going to have a lot of anomalies along the way where you literally have people, and I've been involved myself, you have people involved in particular cases, literally up to an hour before a game actually takes place, and I'm talking principally championship here, who are waiting for a DRA decision to see can a player actually get off and be allowed to play that game. So the process is ultra fair to the player, but it is quite unwieldy and maybe not that satisfactory.
Enda, when we spoke in 2018, you drew various analogies and you said things like corporal punishment, drink driving used to be the norm and now they're not, and society can change and habits can change, and social pressure is a part of that. Do you sense from what you know still of the modern day dressing room, or even the one not so long ago that you were a part of? I don't think, like, social pressure isn't really there when it comes to this kind of stuff in GAA. I don't feel, you know, if you get involved in a big scuffle and you punch the head off some fella, when you go into your local GAA club bar a week later, I don't think you're necessarily being shunned. Like, that's my sense. I don't know what you're seeing.
You're probably absolutely right, and that's a pretty poor reflection. Like, a manager of a club team, have been involved, obviously played quite a bit of football, and so the physical nature of the support and that competitive thing, and that you're playing for something that is highly, highly personal to you, or should be in the GAA. And so it brings a level of emotion that maybe is absent in other sports. And yeah, I'd be a big advocate that we cannot lose that. That's something immensely special. That's why the dressing room is so special. That's why when you win and when you lose, it feels so good and hurts so bad. Yeah. That's the GA. And so I don't think there's ever going to be a time that these incidences won't occasionally happen.
Yeah,
that isn't to accept them. What frustrates me is that every time the incident happened, we still don't seem to have a proper form of punishment. I don't think anybody would have an issue. If a bad incident happens, you get the bad punishment, then that feels fair, and there'll be justice done, and there'll be a natural dampening down of them. But I think they will still inevitably occur if we keep that brilliant fire that's within GA people when we're at GA matches. But my problem is, as I was saying, is that each time they happen, we talk about we need to be able to stamp this out, or we need to be able to do something, and yet we are so ineffective, or we haven't progressed in any way in terms of an effective or a suitable punishment when these incidents happen, and so the wheel will just keep on turning.
Yeah, so I would agree with that. Human nature is such that these incidents will happen. It doesn't make somebody a bad person if they get into a scuffle around a GAA field, especially when it's parish against parish and it's heated. That's all absolutely fine. The issue here is how the GAA authorities deal with these incidents. And we will see how they deal with Dublin and Tyrone here. And Nicky mentioned there, Enda, that he wouldn't necessarily be against what might be perceived as a draconian enough rule whereby an incident akin to what we saw at Healy Park, that's serious. Punches like that being thrown, a team has just kicked out of a competition. I mean, that's the most extreme example you could think of. What is a fair punishment, I wonder? Would you be against something like that?
I suppose a fair thing for me would have been if that incident happened and the referee was alerted to that at halftime and there's enough officials and cameras at matches that such incidents could be identified, the referee could have said, right, boys, that's it. That's us for today. We can't continue and nobody's getting any points from this game. I think that in a division as tight as Division One, that will really hurt both teams. The argument there is, well, if a team's losing and it's to their benefit to get a game called off, they will do that. Well, then all the more reason for the team that really needs the points to stay the hell out of that tunnel and wait for the other team to go in, which most teams are doing. I have to say, Mickey Hart was always brilliant at that with us. He was always pulling us aside and talking. But sometimes, obviously, that failed to happen on Sunday for or on Saturday for whatever reason. But I think a punishment at the time would be good. I think looking back at that now, when you can't really see who's at fault and chucking both teams out of a full competition, it would seem draconian. And my problem with that, if that was laid down in law, that if you're involved in a melee, you get chucked out of that competition, and the players know that that's a punishment for whenever they're starting to swing them punches, will then absolutely follow through on that. But I don't think waiting for an incident like this and then coming out with a big punishment like that, you can bet your bottom dollar that would get turned over on appeal and we're no further forward. That's what I mean. We need to, if we want to go down that route, absolutely fair enough, but it has to be in the rule book, and you can't just decide, right, we're going to throw the book at this team or at this player, which happens too often. And I think that's why so many things are lost on appeal, because the precedent hasn't been previously set. And then you're just being reactionary rather than being ahead of the game.
No, it has to be in the rule book in advance. And I suppose the other last point and last word to you generally, Nicky, but the last point as well is that there's absolutely no reason why, when you look at the Curraghfin-Kilcoo game, I know that was at full time, but they were going in for extra time. But certainly at the weekend, say at half time, one team should just be designated to go in first. That's a very simple rule. Teams are designated to come out at different times. If needs be, they could be designated to go in at different times. It might limit the likelihood of that happening. But again, it will still happen in places. Very final thoughts from you then. What's going to happen? Because I'll make a bet with you now, Nicky. We'll talk again in about 2.5 years and we'll have the same conversation. That's my reckoning.
Yeah, look, and I think that's probably not an unfair summation of it at the end of the day, Joe. I do think that. But I think the GAA will address this particular matter. And I think, but bear in mind that we're talking about 32 other entities, namely county boards, that have to deal with these matters as well. Yeah. So I think there's probably Croke Park obviously needs to give clear direction, and county boards need to give direction. Now, in a lot of cases they are, and they are handing out stiff penalties, but they do get on then the whole appeal trail that Enda has so well articulated there. So yes, it is an issue, and it probably will continue, but that doesn't mean that the association shouldn't continue to strive to make it very clear that if incidents like this happen, there are serious repercussions, and not just the suspension of a couple of players. How that is going to articulate itself at the end, I don't know, but I do think that the association needs to continue to make sure that it cleans up its acts and doesn't allow this to happen, because it doesn't make for a good presentation for anybody, young or old.
Okay, Nicky Brennan, former GAA president, and Enda McGinley, three-time All-Ireland winner. Thanks, gents. GAA on Off the Ball.